and his progeny said, "Keeping religion in the end time is like holding fire or pressing a thorny bush in the hand. That is why we continue in the supplication, 'O Allah, we complain, the big number of our enemies and the small number of us, and the intensity of seditions against us, and the conditions of the time which are opposed to us.'" The Prophet has also said, "Gabriel came to me and said, 'O Messenger of Allah, soon there will be sedition among your ummah.' I asked, 'How will be the exit from it?' He said, 'The news of the predecessors and the posteriors and the edict of what happens between you has been mentioned. Allah's book is the divider of truth and falsehood, and it is not a jest. Any oppressor who does not practice it, Allah will annihilate him, and anyone who seeks guidance in other than that, Allah will mislead him. Allah's firm cord is the wise word and the right path." The only way of salvation from the misleading conditions of the end time is to cling to the two weighty things which the Prophet left behind, the Noble Quran and his Ahlul Bayt. They will never separate from each other till they arrive at the pond of Kauthar on the day of resurrection. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says, "When Arqa'im rises up, it is obligatory on all to help each other. For sure, what is seen at the time of the universal movement of Imam Mahdi is friendship and cooperation. This goes to the extent that anyone who needs something can take it from his brother's pocket. But it is very important to keep oneself safe against polytheism and hypocrisy. That's why it has been stressed in Iftitah supplication to go through hardships and calamities in a way that we set the ground for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi." So we read, "And bless Muhammad and his progeny, and help us with a victory that you have expedited, and a harm that you have removed, and an assistance that you have made it mighty, and a dominance of truth that you have shown clearly, and a mercy from you that glorifies us, and a health from you that clothes us with your mercy, O most merciful of the merciful."
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Washington has for years used the power of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world to impose sanctions on other countries, but this weaponization of the dollar has produced a reaction. Recently, the Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, lashed out at the U.S. dollar's dominance in the world economy, saying the BRICS nations, including Brazil, Russia, China, India, and South Africa, should have their own bank to finance their trade transactions. Also, French President Emmanuel Macron has said Europe must reduce its reliance on the U.S. dollar to avoid becoming a vassal. But could these be signs of the U.S. dollar hegemony and its status as global reserve faltering? In this regard, the United States Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned that economic sanctions imposed on other countries like Iran and Russia threaten the dominance of the dollar in the global economic market.
So there is a risk when we use financial sanctions that are linked to the role of the dollar, that over time it could undermine the hegemony of the dollar, as you said. But this is an extremely important tool we try to use judiciously and in circumstances, especially when we have the support of our allies. It's not just the United States, it's a coalition of partners acting together to impose these sanctions.
She admitted that the sanctions do create a desire on the part of China, Russia, or Iran to find an alternative. However, she claimed that the dollar is used as a global currency for reasons that are not easy for other countries to find an alternative with the same properties. The global trend of substituting the U.S. dollar with local currencies in the trade of goods and transactions has been on the rise in recent years, with countries hoping to reduce their dependence on Washington and prevent it from further weaponizing its global dollar dominance. Observers cite China, Iran, Russia, and Venezuela as cases in point when it comes to conducting one's economic affairs and important transactions independent of the greenback. They say China, Russia, and the European Union are major players in the de-dollarization process today. These countries not only can avoid being subject to U.S. jurisdiction and sanctions in many cases, but also weaken Washington's ability to remain the most dominant global power. Earlier this month, Iran's top security official stated that the move to reduce the use of dollar in regional and international transactions, joined by several countries, would minimize the West's dominance over the global economy. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, cited the initiatives that have been finalized between Iran and Russia in the financial sector and banking exchanges to fund joint projects as an effective paradigm for neutralizing the West's unlawful sanctions against the two countries. The U.S. dollar has been the king of currencies since 1944, when it officially became the reserve currency of the world. Since then, the dollar has enjoyed a sort of domination that very few other currencies have experienced. Additionally, it has granted the U.S. an insurmountable influence over other economies. However, the de-dollarization started especially since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war. Nations across the board have started asking if they can drop the U.S. dollar and use other currencies to break the hegemony. Last month, India inked an agreement with as many as 18 countries to trade in Indian rupees. More recently, New Delhi announced it had signed an agreement with Malaysia to start trading in Indian rupees. Iran has also fully abandoned U.S. dollar in its trade with China and Russia. Saudi Arabia, which is an OPEC member, said it will abandon petrodollar and accept petroyuan. Beijing is aggressively moving to present yuan as an alternative to U.S. dollar. It has been using global platforms such as the BRICS, ESCO, and OPEC to do its bidding. Russia is also increasingly using yuan in international trade. It is also mulling launching a joint BRICS currency. According to an IMF report, U.S. dollar's global foreign exchange reserves fell below 59% in the final quarter of last year. The trend is expected to continue this year, and Yellen's warning may suggest that the situation may have gone wrong.
violence is back again in Sudan as the army and a paramilitary group calling itself the Rapid Support Forces or RSF are fighting fierce battles in several cities, including the capital Khartoum. The fighting erupted Saturday after weeks of power struggles between Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his deputy, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, known as Hemeti or Little Mohammed, who leads the heavily armed RSF. Witnesses said huge blasts and intense gunfire rattled buildings in the suburbs of the capital Khartoum as tanks rumbled on the streets and fighter jets roared overhead.
Now a lot of people are just kind of like hiding in their homes. It's been going on since yesterday morning. It kind of like there was a lull at night, and then it started back up again like early morning, and like 1 or 2, like super loud.
According to Central Committee of Sudan Doctors, scores of people, including civilians, have so far been killed and many others injured. The battles also left several members of the United Nations World Food Program dead, prompting the agency to suspend operation in the impoverished nation. Even a 3-hour pause to open safe passage for humanitarian cases proposed by the United Nations failed to stop the fighting. Heavy gunfire could still be heard in central Khartoum near the airport and dense black smoke billowed from the surrounding area. The RSF said it was in control of several places, including the airport, the presidential palace, and other strategic locations. The army, however, insisted that they are the ones who are still in control of all those areas. The fighting was soon extended to other regions, cities, and towns, including the western Darfur region and the city of Omdurman. The violence drew international outcry. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for justice without delay. He had earlier warned that an escalation in the fighting would further aggravate the already precarious humanitarian situation. The Arab League and the African Union separately condemned the violence and called for an immediate ceasefire. Russia, China, and the European Union also came out vocal against the intense fighting in Sudan, urging restraint. The fighting in Sudan comes as many around the globe have warned that the conflict could plunge the country into a deeper chaos. After all, if the Northeast African nation is not a country which has seen the most number of coups, but it has been the scene of numerous such moves in its history. It was in April 2019 when former President Omar al-Bashir, who had ruled Sudan since the 1989 coup, was brought down from power by the country's military. That after weeks of mass protests over the cost of basic goods, austerity measures, high inflation, and an end to wheat and fuel subsidies. The Transitional Military Council then took power and agreed to a power-sharing deal with protesters. The outcome? A sovereign council tasked with leading the transition process. The council was set to be ruled by a military figure for 21 months, followed by a civilian rule for 18 months. But a handover of power never happened. Things went ahead the same way until October 2021, when the military ruled by Burhan took control of the government in yet another military coup. The move triggered international aid cuts and sparked near-weekly protests met by a deadly crackdown. That was exactly the time when differences arose between Burhan and his deputy Daglo. Burhan believed that the coup was necessary to include more factions in politics. Daglo, however, called the coup a mistake that failed to bring about change. Now, given the recent developments in Sudan, both Burhan and Daglo have calculated that the leadership contest is now a zero-sum game and therefore have moved on each other. What seems to be clear is the fact that the Sudanese people, who have already paid a high price for installing a civilian government, are the ones who must stand on the sidelines as both military leaders fight it out till the bitter end. What seems to be of high urgency for Sudan is that power has to be given back to its real owners, the people. However, the fighting and yet another brutal civil war in the Northeast African nation are dashing long-held hopes for a transition to civilian-led democracy. As the Saudi war on Yemen enters its ninth year, authorities from both sides have begun releasing hundreds of prisoners captured during the deadly conflict. The forces in Aden, who were backed by Saudi Arabia during the war, agreed to release 250 Ansarullah fighters and send them back to Sana'a. In return, the Ansarullah movement said it released a total of more than 180 detainees, including Saudis and Sudanese soldiers. The prisoners also include forces loyal to former Saudi-backed Yemeni President Abdel Rabbouh Mansour Hadi and send them back to Aden. Among them were high-profile figures, including brother of former President Nasser Mansour Hadi and former Yemeni Defense Minister Mahmoud Al-Sobeihi. The prisoners talked about their feelings as they were set to join their families.
It's the most beautiful day of our lives because we got out of captivity and we're now safely heading to our country and under the protection of the Red Cross.
I now feel proud and honored as I'm returning to the Yemeni land. I will kiss its soil because it's like my tender mother. Greeting to all the Yemeni people.
Those, along with other prisoners, made up of some 900 captives who are released under an agreement reached in Switzerland in March. The agreement was the largest prisoner swap since October 2020. The International Committee of the Red Cross, which managed and facilitated the prisoner swap, said with this act of goodwill, hundreds of families torn apart by conflict are being reunited. Our deep desire is that these releases provide momentum for a broader political solution. Some within the Yemeni government in Sana'a said they expected a flurry of prisoner exchanges during the coming months. They said other such agreements are likely to be struck after the holy month of Ramadan to release all prisoners that can make up around 15,000. The prisoner swap deals, including the one which took place during a three-day period as of Friday, and the possible upcoming agreements, are seen by many around the world as a confidence-building measures aimed at creating trust between the warring sides in Yemen and preparing the grounds for upcoming peace talks. The prisoner swap agreement between Riyadh and Ansarullah movement in Yemen comes as the movement's chief negotiator, Mohammed Abdel Salam, has hailed the negotiations as serious and positive. Abdel Salam says more talks have been planned to discuss outstanding issues, which include a permanent truce, full reopening of the southern ports and Sana'a airport, payment of public sector wages, and the withdrawal of foreign forces from Yemen. Sources say Saudi Arabia is planning to announce the end of the devastating war on Yemen. After all, the kingdom was leading a coalition that has been attacking the impoverished nation since March 2015. To reinstate Hadi, Riyadh launched a brutal war in collaboration with a number of its allies and with arms and logistical support from the United States and several other Western countries. The objective was to crush the Ansarullah movement, which has been ruling the country since Hadi fled to Saudi Arabia in 2015. To achieve its goals, Riyadh used the most sophisticated weapons it purchased from its Western allies against the Yemeni people. Not to mention that the Arab Kingdom imposed an all-out blockade on the country to bring the impoverished nation to its knees. According to UN figures, hundreds of thousands of people have so far been killed and millions of others displaced. The war also destroyed Yemen's vital infrastructure, leaving millions of people across the country in desperate need of vital necessities. UN estimates show some 4.5 million people have been internally displaced and more than two-thirds of the population living below the poverty line. Now, with the recent prisoner swap deal, it seems that Saudi Arabia is seeking to pull out itself from a quagmire that has been very costly on all levels. The princesses in Riyadh seem to have come to the understanding that billions of Saudi petrodollar have gone into waste and are seeking to make a U-turn in their political approach toward regional and international developments.
International Quds Day Rallies 2023. Massive crowds fill the streets of all major cities in the Islamic Republic. The show of support for Palestinians was astounding. But these rallies were not limited to just Iran. This year, more people came out in support of Al-Quds Day, an occasion designated by the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, over 40 years ago. One day prior to the event, Iran and several Arab countries like Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, and Iraq held naval parades, something not done in the past. Then came the show of support by resistance groups and religious leaders.
It is enough for the Arabs and the Muslims in the world and all the peoples of the world. And also, Al-Quds has its significance for Palestine, and this is part and parcel of the religious duties. In this state, we need to shoulder the efforts to support the West Bank and Al-Quds.
But why was this Al-Quds Day different? For starters, the Al-Aqsa Mosque was the scene of multiple violations and desecrations by Israeli forces and settlers. The beating of Palestinian worshippers brought world condemnation against Israel and its officials. In the spotlight, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and extreme far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir. When it came to the issue of Al-Quds, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was forced to announce that the Al-Aqsa Mosque would be limited only to Palestinian worshippers until the end of the holy month of Ramadan. His minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, slammed the move. Many saw that as a sign of a further rift with Netanyahu. Never before, Israel is finding itself to be isolated and weak. On the one hand, Israel is unraveling from within. Strikes and protests against the so-called judicial reforms have extended to over 3 months now. Meanwhile, Israelis are leaving Israel en masse. On the other hand, the economy is being battered. Massive capital flights, investor confidence at an all-time low. After all, who wants to invest in an economy where there are massive protests in which the fate of the ruling coalition is not known? His partnership with what some have called fascists and extremists has deteriorated Israel's standing, even with its staunchest allies, especially the U.S. A group of U.S. senators have urged the U.S. president not to use taxpayers' money in Israeli settlements and to stop violating Palestinian rights. According to a recent poll by Gallup, for the first time, more Democrats sympathize with Palestinians than they do with Israelis. 49% of Democrats answered that they sympathize more with Palestinians, an 11-point increase over the past year. Meanwhile, Israel is facing an unprecedented national security threat from resistance groups. Recently, a barrage of rockets from resistance groups from southern Lebanon was met with a counterfire from Israel, which only targeted open areas, in fear of not getting involved in a war, especially with Hezbollah. And a further threat to Israel, the geopolitical shift in West Asia from Iran's reconciliation with Saudi Arabia has thrown Israel's security to a state of red alert. Israeli hopes of normalization with Saudi Arabia appear to be dashed, at least for now. Counting on Arab-Israeli alliance in the face of Iran and the axis of resistance is over, said the Hezbollah chief, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. As a result of Iran-Saudi normalization, the axis of resistance has been recalibrated, especially with Syria coming back into the fold. 21 years ago, George Bush uttered these words in his State of the Union address.
States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten the peace of the world.
Ironic that now those words hold true for the U.S. and Israel, especially when it comes to their presence in the West Asia region.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. باید فهمید.
We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
وانگاه پیاده کردن این مفاهیم در واقعیت زندگی.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب
Part 2.
What hurts me most is my son. When we found my daughter, she was already burnt. They covered her with a cloth and moved her to the hospital. But my son, I kept watching him while he was burning and suffering for 3 minutes. He was dying in front of my eyes. I couldn't reach him. As a father, it was very painful looking at him, helpless to rescue my own flesh and blood, my only son. We found my brother and his family dead in the same place they slept. We found them all dead, choked from the smoke in their bedrooms, without any sort of resistance or attempts to get out. But their whole bodies were charred. My brother with his wife and the 4 children. Hazem died with his children. Mahmoud, the 8-year-old son. Nabil, the 7-year-old. Farah, the 4-year-old daughter. And Kamer, the 7-month-old baby. All we can say is, God bless their souls.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
في المستشفى ما أعطوني إبرة منوم مهدمة بشوف حل صيدي للصبح.
I slept after having a sedative shot in the hospital. When I woke up, my family told me that my only son died and my daughter was in the hospital suffering from 3rd-degree burns. After the funeral, I went to check on my daughter's health. She was living only through medical equipment. I was shocked at what I saw. When I left the hospital, I got a phone call telling me that my daughter had passed away. I called my uncles to resume the funeral again after we closed it just the night before. Both of my children died. We ask God to give us patience and more children.
وتوفت اثنين والحمد لله رب العالمين وهينا صابرين وان شاء الله ربنا بعوض علينا عوض خير.
ايش بالاول؟
Hazem was the only one among my sons asking about me and taking care of me.
والله ما مخلي لي شيء يعني.
He had always been a giver.
Fateh al-Baghdadi is the victim number 110, and his sister is number 111, who were among burned people. Hazem Adher, his wife, and his four children raised the number of victims to 116. This is the total number of victims who were burned to death either from candles or by backup electrical generators from 2007 to March 2013.
No candles anymore, God forbid. We will never use candles again. We've had enough. A whole family died because of those candles. I only had Fatih and Tala, mercy on their souls, who burned to death. As a result of fear, now I cannot have babies anymore.
وهذا ما تم بالفعل هناك حرق العديد من الأطفال هناك حرق العديد من
This is what's really happened. A lot of the casualties were children and their parents who burnt to death. But recently, the education branch within the Ministry of Health began awareness sessions to educate citizens on how these generators and candles can be unsafe, especially when used incorrectly.
Umhan al-Tantawi, a neighbor to Abd al-Fattah al-Baghdadi, owns a small shop selling chickens in Barish camp. This woman is using a generator to provide electricity to keep working in the shop that she depends on to make a living, and also using candles despite of the pain and damage it caused to her neighbors.
A few days ago, my son Ahmed lit a candle. I found it completely burnt in the bathroom. It almost burnt the house. From that moment, I didn't use candles for light anymore. Electricity affects us so much. My husband's sick. He has blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, and kidney problems. When the electricity is off, his health gets bad. We even don't have the fuel for a generator.
After we finished shooting in Omhani's house in Burish camp, the driver was unable to drive us to another place to continue our work because of the fuel shortage.
Can we go to shoot another place? No, we can't get there. I do not have enough petrol to go. We only have 30 minutes to reach one place. I think there is a petrol station near here. I hope we can get enough petrol.
Hundreds of car drivers wait hours and hours in front of petrol stations to refill their cars with fuel.
We have suffered from the petrol crisis and shortage for about 7 years. The tunnels help somewhat in providing the diesel and petrol, but after the tunnels close, we have suffered again for about 6 months now.
The petrol crisis is affecting every one of us. We need to go get the fuel like our husbands when they travel. We must take this role in standing in a long line waiting for some fuel. We usually return late to our children. We hope this crisis ends soon because we have had enough suffering.
As a result of the electricity outage, hospitals and clinics that rely extensively on the use of backup generators were not away from the crisis as well, due to the unpredictable shortage of power supply.
As a result of the Israeli blockade and electricity cuts, hospitals and clinics rely extensively on backup generators, which are not designed to function for prolonged periods and are often damaged as a result. Additionally, the fuel needed to generate electricity is frequently unavailable. Medics and doctors groups expressed their utmost concerns about the dangerous situation of the health sector in Gaza. This acute crisis of electricity and shortage of medical supplies endangers the lives of all patients, children and adults.
The shortage of industrial fuel that's used to generate electricity has also affected the operating capacity of the Gaza power plant.
The problem now in the power station is the lack of regularity, awaiting the arrival of fuel because of border conditions, security, and Israeli policies. Therefore, in this matter, as long as the occupation has the ability to control it, I think they will keep a certain level of control to keep us within the walls of the energy and power crisis.
Thus, the Israeli occupation, who restricts fuel supply to Gaza, is responsible for the innocents who were burned to death, in addition to the patients who have been suffering in hospitals. Moreover, the power cuts are also a major threat to the industrial sector, where the production is interrupted and leads to an increase in poverty and unemployment rates among Gazans.
When the electricity cuts, especially in certain seasons, it affects not only the factory's production, but also affects 17 workers by reducing their salaries due to the reduced working hours. This will badly damage the economic situation. Israel continues restricting the fuel supply to Gaza, which makes the power station stop generating electricity. But despite all of that, we must survive to free our lands. As tailors, we are paid for working 8 hours a day. When the hours are reduced due to the electricity cutting, the payment is also reduced. Lower salaries mean suffering in all aspects of our lives.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم respected listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Fawad Haider. I really welcome you all. And how are you, Ali Nasir? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
The holy month of Ramadan.
Good.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Good?
Yes.
Okay, good, good, inshallah. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Fawad Haider?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay. Welcome to our Quranic session. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you so much for being with us. So today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll work on two of the verses of Surah Ali Imran on page 59, ayah number 78. 4 and 75. Everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. Wallahu dhul fadlil 'azim. Wa min ahlil kitabi man in ta'manhu bi qintari yu'addihi ilayk. ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤده إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون.
Nice one, alhamdulillah, nice recitation, so much lovely, I liked it. So, now I will read, make sure you listen, okay, then inshallah we'll explain a bit, then we'll move on to the important tajweed rules, inshallah we'll practice all together, alright?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون. So Allah Almighty continues the discussion about the argument of the Christians and the Jews. But now in this ayah, Allah Almighty says a new point about them. Okay? But Allah Almighty says an important point here, okay? يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He singles out for his mercy whomever he wishes, and Allah is dispenser of a great grace. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim, a great one, okay, great blessing, great grace. And in the next ayah, Allah Almighty, as I told you, Allah Almighty mentions an important point. Wa min ahlil kitab, and among the people of the book, is someone who, if you inta'amanhu, if you entrust him, if you give him, for example, a quintal is like, it was an amount of money, okay? A quintal, inta'amanhu biqintar, will repay it to you. Yu'addihi ilayk. Today, you give him some money to keep it for you, okay? You trust him. So the next day, if you ask him to give you back, he will give you back. In among the people of the book. It means we do not have to think like all the people of the book, they all are bad, okay? Among them, we got a group of people of them, okay? Who, in ta'amanhu biqintar, if you pay them, if you give them some money to keep it for you, okay? Next time, if you ask them to give it back to you, they will repay it. Right? In ta'amanhu biqintarin, yu'addihi ilayk, will repay it to you. And another group of the people. Wa minhum, and again, among them is he who, in ta'amanhu bidinar, if you give him a simple thing, a small amount of money, in ta'amanhu bidinar, okay? If you give him a single dinar, okay? La yu'addihi ilayk, will not repay it to you when you ask him. Illa ma dumta alayhi qama, unless you stand persistently over him, you fight with him, give my money back, okay? Yeah. Why are they like this? Thalika, it's because. Why they do not pay? Thalika bi'annahum qalu, because they think, they have this false belief, okay? They have this false thought that laysa alayna fil ummiina sabilun. We have no obligation to the non-Jews. We don't care about non-Jews. Who is non-Jews, okay? We don't care about Muslims. Even they trust us, we don't trust you. If you give us something, it's halal for us. We'll never give you back. Some of them believe this way, okay? وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. They what? They attribute lies to Allah Almighty. They say that Allah Almighty has given us this high level and we don't care about others, okay? They attribute lies to Allah Almighty. Yes? وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they know it. They know it, okay? Inshallah, in the day of the judgment, Allah Almighty will teach them a good lesson, okay?
Inshallah.
Inshallah. And Allah Almighty has already done it. He's doing it in this world as well. We'll show them, okay? Inshallah. We pray for that day, inshallah. So, guys, the thing is that I want to say a general point, okay? Among any nation, among any tribe, okay? You can find good people and bad people. So we don't have to generalize, like if we saw someone from, for example, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, from Egypt, from UK, wherever, okay? Anywhere, you can find people, okay, who are good, who are bad also. If you saw someone who did bad to you, do not generalize like, yeah, Afghanistan, all the people are like this. Pakistan, all the people are like this. Iran, all the people are like this. No, among them, we've got good people, we've got bad people. Okay, so we should not judge a book by its cover, okay? Like just we saw one, the cover is bad, okay? We see the whole thing is bad, no.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, that's it. We have a lot of explanations, but we don't have time. And actually, there are like explanations already existed in the interpretations in the Tafasir books. Inshallah, you can go and refer to them. Okay, Ali Nasir. Now, the second part of our class is the Tajweed rules. Inshallah, we'll mention them and we'll practice all together. Ready? Hussein?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Yes? يَخْتَصُ. يَخْ. Heavy letter. Yes? يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. Rahmatihi, the letter Sad, Ha, He, Ha, right? Mayyasha, Nun Sakin plus Ya, Idgham, because the letter Ya, which comes right after the letter Noon, matches the Yarmalun letters. So in this case, the rule Idgham must be applied. Right? The mad is also wajib here. And yeah, as Fawad says, man yasha, when you merge it with ya, may yasha, you should produce a lean sound. May yasha. Good job, Fawad. So Qila tells you, better to?
Stop
here. Good job, Hassan. Thank you. Wallahu. The letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced heavily or lightly?
Heavily.
Good job. Wallahu dhul. Fadlil azim. So in this ayah, we got a lot of things, okay? In terms of pronunciations. The letter kha, the letter sad, the letter ha, the letter ha, the letter hamza, the letter dhal, the letter dad, and the letter dha. So they all are difficult. You must pay attention. Dhul, fadlil azim. Right? And also Ayn. Yes, Fawad, say it louder. Ayn. Good job. So pay attention to them. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ أَهْلِ. It's easy. Noon after noon, we have the letter Hamza. Hamza matches the throat letters. And the rule?
Idhar.
Just clearly read the noon. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ again. In. Again, the same rule. إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ تَأْمَنْهُ. Noon ساكن plus ta. Ah, it matches the إخفاء letters. إخفاء حيث سو إن تأمنه نون ساكين plus ها ها matches the throat letters علي ناصر and the rule
إظهار
is applied. You just simply read the noon, okay? Do not hide it. تأمنه بقين طار قين طار.
Yes.
Okay. قين طار نون ساكين plus طا. The letter طا matches the rest of the letters, but it's a heavy letter. So qin tar is changed to qin tar, right?
Yes.
So hide the sound. Qin tari yuaddihi tanwin plus ya yuaddihi merge the sound. Yuaddihi ilayka wa minhum, again the same rule as ta'amanhu idhar. Man in ta'amanhu, the same thing. Bidinarilla. Dinar, ra has a tanween, merges to lam. Bidinaril la yuaddihi ilayka illa ma dumta alayhi qa'iman. No special rule, only qa'iman. There is a mad, it is wajib because qa'iman, hamza, and mad letter are in the same word. Yes, Fawad? Qa'iman. But if you stop, Hassan, the tanween changes to alif mad. Yes, qa'iman changes to qa'i. Ma, right?
Yes.
Okay. Qila tells you it's better to stop here. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا نُون مُشَدَّد بِأَنَّهُمْ. Make sure you produce a nasal sound. لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلُوا. Wow.
Idgham.
Matches the Yarmalun letter, so idgham. سَبِيلُوا وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الكذبة على الله الكذبة وهم يعلمون. When you stop here, prolong the sound to apply the rule مد العارضة. That's all for us for today. And we mentioned all the important tajweed rules, okay, that which are necessary to pay attention to, inshallah, recite the Quran with tajweed. And brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for listening to RIB English Radio. If you want to learn Quran with tajweed rules, stay with us, inshallah, every day at the same time. We'll be here with you. So, Ali Nasser, Hassan, Hussein, Fawad, you have any questions? No questions? Sir. Now we will recite, okay? The last thing we do, 1 minute we have. So we'll recite. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat. Brothers and sisters, listen please and repeat. Ready? A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يختص برحمته من يشاء
يختص برحمته من يشاء
والله ذو الفضل العظيم
والله ذو الفضل العظيم
ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم
ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم
أحسن يؤديه إليك كتب ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما
ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما
أحسنتم ما دمت نو ما دمت that's correct ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب
ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب
ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون
ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, mashallah, brothers and sisters, thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it. We recited these two verses with tajweed rules, inshallah. Practice well. Recite the Quran Kareem with tajweed rules. Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. Once again, thank you so much for being with us. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools for cooperations and holding this kind of Quranic sessions. May Allah bless them, inshallah. See you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.